And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, when I was a kid, a guy like Mike Johnson, who is now second in line to succeed to the presidency, would have been called a clerical fascist. You know, he's the new leader of the Republicans in the House. What do you make of the fact that we have a clerical fascist second in line to be the president? Was that what the election was about?
When you were a kid, first of all, from Louisiana, you would have been a Democrat.
He still could have been a clerical fascist. Huey Long was from Louisiana. Fascist.
Yeah. And guys like him would never have risen.
No.
With the way the party structures were, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican.
But, I mean, he's in the American lexicon, he's a real successor to Huey Long and to Father Coughlin and that type of the 30s that you go to see in the movies now. But if you're old enough, ancient enough, you actually might remember something about.
Well, that's in part true. But he also goes beyond that in his religious attenuation to the political process. Huey Long, I don't think, brought
religion. No, he wasn't religious. He didn't bring religion in.
He didn't bring religion. This guy is motivated by religion. This guy, you know, there's pictures of him kneeling in prayer with a group around him on the floor of the House. There's picture, you know, he said his wife wasn't there for one of the introductions or something because she had just spent the last 2 weeks on her knees praying, type of thing. You know, I want to know what happens if he wants to bring prayer to the floor of the House when a couple of the Muslim, there's only a couple of them, members of the House decide to, you know, put down their prayer rugs and face Mecca and hold their prayers.
Well, didn't Trump say that if you're the wrong religion, we'll deport you?
Yeah.
He said that this week.
He said that we're not going to let you in the country if you're the wrong, you know, if you don't belong to the American religion, you know.
The American religion, that's it, the American religion, yeah. Mormonism.
Well, that's a Native American religion.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a Native American religion.
And came from Susquehanna County, by the way. I want to point that out. The tablets were translated in Susquehanna, the northeast center of Susquehanna County.
Okay.
So I don't know what that makes me, but I think it makes me more American than you. You're in Lackawanna County.
I guess so. Lackawanna County, of course, is the youngest county in Pennsylvania. So we weren't there for those things. But, anyhow.
But Mike Johnson really is a emblem and an incarnation of Bobart's comment that government is not supposed to run the church. The church is supposed to run the government.
Right.
So there you have it. When she said it, people said, oh, my God. And now we got that guy running the Congress.
And we'll see what comes out of it or what doesn't come out of it.
That's my question to you. What can come out of it?
Well,
I mean, this guy was one of the strategists of not certifying the Biden election, right? He was one of the chief strategists. He wasn't known for it, but he was that. And he was one of the people who signed on to the suit to invalidate the electoral votes of Pennsylvania, as well as four or five other states.
Yeah.
So he's not a shy guy.
He's the friendly face of a very, very nasty set of policies.
So now how are they going to... how are they going to get along with the Senate?
And the question is, of course, part of the reason was that the GOP just got fatigued from trying to keep going through to elect the speaker. But he wasn't the first, second, or even third choice. He wound up being the one guy that I guess had the fewest enemies. But even then, if you remember, Ken Buck, who was the one of the ones that voted against Jim Jordan, a Republican from Colorado, said, I can't vote for Jim Jordan because he would not acknowledge that the election wasn't stolen. I guess that's a double negative, but whatever. But this guy is even worse than Jim Jordan, and he voted for him.
Didn't they all vote for him? There wasn't one who didn't vote for him. All the Republicans.
They got everybody. I think 220 out of, I don't know if they still have 221 or two, but they got no Republicans voted against him this time, and so we have that.
Doesn't this hand the Democrats a phenomenally good political issue?
Oh, it's going to be, it's going to play out over the next year because he's been, they've got him being against Social Security, gay rights, all of these push button issues that the MAGA group wants, but the American people do not.
By the way, he's not only against Social Security, he's against Medicare and Medicaid.
Yeah, that's the package there.
Yeah.
That's the package. Remember, the Republicans were trying to convince people that they really weren't against that. Well,
they don't bother to do that. Now they say, we have to do it. We have to be against it.
Right. Because we have to preserve the tax cuts for the wealthy.
Right. No, they don't say that. Do they say that?
Well, that's the reason.
We have to lower taxes. Government spending is runaway spending.
Right.
Where is it running away to?
Well, when Trump was there, they increased spending.
And cut revenue.
And cut revenue.
Yeah.
They cut revenue. That was the $7 billion deficit. Or trillion. Was it trillion? They had $7 trillion to the deficit.
$7 trillion.
To the deficit.
Yeah.
By the way, just as an aside, I saw a little piece that, since they've with the Democrats passed legislation to beef up the IRS, IRS has audited 100 millionaires and increased their revenues by 122 million. So,
wait a minute. How much was added to the budget to give the IRS the opportunity to do that?
Well, it was supposed to be 86. 86 was it billion? 86 million or 86 billion? I can't remember. Mm-hmm. And that got cut. Mm-hmm. In the compromise but not all the way down. The Republicans wanted to take it all away. Mm-hmm. I think it got cut down to like 60. But it's one of the most successful investments of money the government could make.
Well, that's why they didn't want them to make it.
Right. Because they don't want government to succeed.
They took in $100 million.
$122 million.
$122 million.
I'm just auditing 100 million.
Yeah. 100 millionaires.
100 millionaires. 100 yeah. millionaires. Huh. So when they get, and they're now going to go after, they've beefed up a lot of these hedge fund guys and what have you. So we'll see. We'll see. And that should make for a good commercial, but it won't. The Democrats won't use that. The Democrats still think that they're, and until they're proven wrong, that abortion is still their most winning issue in the campaign.
So that's interesting, because this Mike Johnson, he's of course against any funding for abortions. He's against legalizing abortion in any respect.
Well,
I imagine that if he were in the Senate, he'd be supporting Turbeville.
Yeah. Well, did you see there was a clip of him, and one of his rationales about being against abortion was, we will have more children who will grow up to be workers, and when we have more workers, they'll be able to put more money into the Social Security fund.
I see. I got it.
That was his rationale. Of course, he wants to do away with the Social Security fund, but the details and details. Yeah.
All right. Now, What makes you think that under this man's leadership, they're going to pass a funding bill to keep the government open in any way acceptable to the Senate?
Well, that's the big question, because he is either going to have to do what the MAGA folks want, which is shut the government down, or two, they become slightly pragmatic for a short period of time and say, we don't want to have to go through all this bloodbath again within the party, so we'll give you a little bit of a respite. We'll have you, we'll allow you to put on the table and pass a shorter term continuing resolution. The date I heard was to take it into May or April 15th, which is tax day, on that. So we'll see what happens.
But the MAGA people don't want a continuing resolution of any sort.
I know. So we're going to have to see where they come down at. By the way, you know, the other thing about Mike Johnson is he has virtually no experience in this. He's only been in the Congress for what, three terms? Fourth term. He's not a fundraiser for them, although he could turn into one. And his staff, from what I understand, is like out of nine people in his, I think I heard that the stat was, out of nine people in his staff, he's hired six within the last year or so. So it's not an experienced staff. I think he only met Mitch McConnell once. He met Biden once when the Louisiana State women's basketball team was honored for winning the NCAAs. So,
but does it matter that he's not competent and that he has no experience if he hasn't any intention of doing anything?
I guess it doesn't.
No.
But we'll find out.
In fact, he may be experienced in doing nothing. Actually, he's experienced in litigating anti-abortion legislation. That's what he did.
Lost that. And yeah. He lost that.
Yeah.
He lost that.
He lost, but that's what he did. That's right. His experience.
Right.
So what more do you need?
Yeah. Now, the question is, going forward in next year, and I don't want to pass over the importance of this year's election, but next year... with the House elections, we'll see what happens, because his agenda has put those 18 Republicans who are in Biden plus Biden districts at peril. And by the way, they all voted for him.
Well, naturally.
So they're going to blame himself. Yeah. George Santos is going to be gone.
Right. And with a strong likelihood that a Democrat will replace him.
Yes. Yeah, although that's not for certain. And then we're having the battle in the states over the gerrymandering. Two events happened this week. I'll interject right here. One in Georgia, the federal court ruled that their gerrymandering or their congressional districts violated the rights of blacks. That's in parallel to what we've seen in Alabama and Louisiana with the courts have ruled. Mm-hmm. But in North Carolina, they're undaunted, where they have this supermajority because that woman who was elected as a Democrat converted to Republican, and they've just come down with a map. North Carolina's got a lot of congressional votes, and they've essentially eviscerated Democrats in the House. There's only going to be I don't know whether it's only two or four of them there, but they've managed to do in one of these great gerrymanders. Now Mark Elias is taking them on again, but this is the consequence of the multimillionaire Art Pope being able to control the state legislature, and they're being able to perpetuate themselves with rules that were never contemplated, as being fair or as to their fairness. They've done away with anything like that.
They don't pretend to be fair. They pretend to get away with whatever they can get away with,
whether it's legal or not.
Yeah, exactly.
And even when they're told it's not, they say, so what?
So what?
like they did in Alabama.
Because they control the judiciary, because the voting is such that the, and the system is such that the judges in the end decide whether or not a law is legal, and they control who the judges are.
The state judiciaries. And that's
the state
why,
judiciary, right.
And that's why it's important here in Pennsylvania. There's election for a Supreme Court judge. It will not shift because it's only one vote. Right now it's 4-2 Democratic with one vacancy. It will not shift the power balance, but it brings it closer.
If the Republicans win.
If the Republicans win. And that's a hard-fought race. And we have a billionaire involved in that.
We've got a Pennsylvania Art Pope.
We have a Pennsylvania Art Pope by the name of Jeffrey Yaz, who's been laundering his money into the Carluccio campaign through this Commonwealth fund.
Carluccio, who no longer boasts about being an anti-abortion person, because in Pennsylvania, that's not exactly the thing to be.
Right. Right. And although it's close in Pennsylvania, there's a lot of pro-life sentiment in Pennsylvania.
Right, but the anti-abortion forces, they know that their candidates are required to wink and nod and say what they need to say. So they overlook all that, right?
Right.
So if a woman like Carluccio says nothing, doesn't mention it, and removes from her website all mention of her previous anti-abortion activity, the her base says, well, she's got to do that. We forgive her.
Yeah, the Democrats are running on their pro-choice bases. Jill Beck for Superior Court is extremely out front about that in her commercials. Dan McCaffrey has mentioned, but it goes by so fast that he's endorsed by Planned Parenthood and the police associations. We're just going to have to see. It's like most elections that are close in Pennsylvania, it's a turnout election.
Meaning by that what?
That if the Democrats get their base out, they're going to win.
Okay, so where are they going to concentrate, do you think, in this coming election?
Philly, the Philly suburbs. Although Carluccio is from the Philly suburbs, but McCaffrey's from Philadelphia. They're going to concentrate in Pittsburgh, which has been trending more and more left-leaning, the city itself. Mm-hmm. But there's some internal stuff out there because they've... the longtime Democratic district attorney lost his primary fight, mm-hmm. but he won as a write-in on the Republican side. So there's a contest there. That should bring out people, but mm-hmm. you just don't know what kind of electorate it's going to bring out. Mm-hmm. And the Democrats believe that they have a shot in the Harrisburg area, mm-hmm. which tends to be, which is trending younger than other parts of the state. And they're going to try to hold some sort of their base up here, like in Lackawanna County.
So what about Fetterman's notion that the Democrats ought to try to get a 3-5% increase in their vote in the rural counties? Not win them, just 3-5% increase in the vote.
Yeah, have not heard much about that, although they did set up some organization to try to do it. But you're in Susquehanna County. What's being done there?
Zippo. Zippo. But, you know, that's Susquehanna County.
That's Susquehanna County.
Yeah. But my guess is if you're in one of the other 40 rural counties, you'd be saying the same thing. That's
the same
whatever
thing.
The county is, right.
But the whole question is, will those rural counties turn out? Is there enough there to draw them out?
At the moment, I don't see it.
Yeah. You know, Lackawanna County has a commissioner's race, although no one expects it to be that close. We'll see. And by the way, talk about millionaires or billionaires. Dave McCormick's campaign, he's laying the groundwork for next year to challenge Bobby Casey. So far, the polls have been pretty good for Casey. They're closer than they've been in years, but still, he's at 50 or above. And McCormick's had some issues and some stumbles. We'll just have to, you know, we'll see what comes out of that after this November election and how the Republicans put it together and how the Democrats put it together, because then you have the congressional races as well.
But look, a lot of all of this depends not so much on the party activities. It depends also on the state of what people know about the world and the state of knowledge that they can access, whether it's the newspapers, or television news, the radio news going to work or coming back from work, and of course the internet. And it strikes me, and we have a fantastic example of this in Scranton right now, that most people just don't pay attention to the news, that there's a falling off in people paying attention to the news. And you have an adult population that basically doesn't have this clue as to what's really going on in the country.
Well, there's an older demographic that likes to check the news, but mostly for local news. And unfortunately, the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area just lost the ownership, local ownership of its newspapers. And by Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, Hazleton, and Pottstown, or Pottsville, rather. And it's not going to get any better in the short run, at least.
There was a YouGov poll among Democrats and Republicans and independents who said they were Democratic leaning or Republican leaning, and in 2016, 57% of GOP voters or people who favored the GOP, 57% said they followed the news. 6 years later, in 2022, a similar group was surveyed with the same questions. And now 20% had fallen off and no longer followed the news. Only 37% said they followed current events. 57% is a majority. 37% is not a majority. It's just barely a third, a little more than a third. Of Democrats in the same period and with the same questions, 49% in 2016 said they followed what was going on in the country. They dropped by 7% to 42%. That drop is not as drastic as the Republican drop, but you take it together. A third to 40% of the country tries to keep up with what's going on in the country. That means that 60 and more percent of the adults in the country have no interest in current events, in politics, in what goes on around them. And yet, they're the ones who are supposed to vote.
Yeah. Didn't Donald Trump say he loves low information voters?
He certainly did. He's
getting his wish.
He's
getting his wish. And you see that all across the board, young people. It's amazing what the Morning Joe is commiserating this week about Joe Biden's lack of enthusiasm of his voters in certain constituencies. And they talked about young voters in particular, and they talked about African-American voters. You know, you wonder what more Joe Biden could do for African-Americans. Taking a African-American woman on as vice president, putting one on the Supreme Court, standing up for all of those things, and for the younger voters, trying to forgive student loans.
Well, that's the point. Joe Biden can't do, but a nationwide organization, for example, the Democratic Party, could do if they had aggressive local campaigns. If they had local activities, but they don't. They are exclusively an electoral organization, and anybody who can win the primary is their candidate. And most of the party hasn't the slightest mechanism for discussing, let alone deciding, on policy. So the average person in the average community has no reason to be in touch with the with the Democratic Party. So whatever Biden says, that's alienated from the average person. That's far removed from the average person. Whereas the local organizations, if it was in existence and active, would be in direct touch with him. You have told me stories about when you were a poll watcher and people came to vote and said, oh, I knew your mother. I knew your aunt. I knew your grandfather.
Right.
And if you were in touch with those people, now you didn't live in that community, but if you were in touch with that group on a regular basis, you would be in a position to win those people over.
Sure.
But if you don't do anything, you can't win anybody over.
Right. I mean, you've got an inherent credibility or trustworthiness because of the context that they knew the family.
Yeah.
And the other thing about that is, and I guess it's still the wild card, the voting by absentee, which makes people even further removed from the process.
Yeah.
You know, they were saying that the last Supreme Court election, the Democrats had a really good candidate, Maria McLaughlin from the Philadelphia area. The Republicans had one of their standard, he was a judge on one of the other appellate courts, and he was standard Republican. And Maria McLaughlin lost by some 25,000 votes. But there were over 40,000 Democratic absentee ballots sent out that weren't returned.
Now, there were people who asked for the ballot.
Yeah. Yeah, because you don't automatically get a ballot now.
Right.
Although
right.
you can now. The Lackawanna County's been pretty aggressive about it. Lackawanna County now can't have you request it every election. In other words, you check off a box, and every election they'll send you an absentee ballot request.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't send you the ballot. They send you the request for the ballot.
Right.
That's another game the Republicans are playing. Well, there were all these ballots out there, and they weren't ballots out there. They were requests for ballots or forms for requests for ballots.
Right.
It's a different process. It's a different process.
Anyway, 40,000 people asked for ballots and didn't bother to send them back.
Right. And we also saw because in the Great Compromise that they had to increase absentee ballots, they did away with straight party voting. So what we saw was a great drop off on the undercard, the under ballot, where people would only maybe vote for the top two people and then not bother to go down the list. And that's
well,
still there.
All
Democrats
of that,
are trying
all
to get
of that,
that back.
Yeah. See, all of that makes it more difficult to interest people in taking part in civic activities because they figure, what the hell's the difference? Doesn't affect me. They don't ever do anything for me.
I wish that we had a national holiday for Election Day, and they could even move it to what the Europeans do on to Sunday. It's one of the things I happen to think it could be called Democracy Day as well. Because it's important. You know, one year I happened to be in Vermont on that day that they have for local elections where everybody meets. It was a town hall day or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, really an interesting thing. I didn't go to any of the meetings, but you felt it in the towns. And the late Charles Kuralt once did a story about that, where people would meet in one of the local civic halls or the churches, and they would actually, people would bake cookies and cakes, and they would sit there all day and vote on things. And it wasn't representative democracy. He said, this is direct democracy.
Right. Well, now we're living in a country where only 30% of Republican voters think that there was any attempt to change the results of the last presidential election. And in any case, Trump had nothing to do with it. Only 30%, 70% of Republicans deny that it ever took place. How about that? Well, that's it for this week.
That's it for this week. We'll see what comes up next week. We're going to be down to what, 9 days before the election. So things will be getting, I think, a little bit warmed up.
Okay.
At least.
Well, we'll see how hot we get next week.
The weather's been hot.
See you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.